Good morning, this is Ricky Harrison. I'd like to welcome you to our adult Sunday school class again this morning. This morning we'll be studying Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Before we get into that printed text, I would like to go back to last week's lesson where we were looking at chapter 5, and I especially want to look at verse number 20. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." If you even go back a little further, I believe we got to bring some of this stuff forward as we look at it. Paul was talking about the intervention of the law, and he even goes back so far as to bring Adam's name forward and saying the origin of the sin. And we talked last week about the reconciliation, the atonement through Christ, that when the law came in, that man realized that the sin increased. And as people, as we looked at the law, they could see their sins and it was more evident to them. And we know from the very beginning of time that man has known there is a right and there's wrong. Even before this law, you can go look in the scripture and it talks about this. But Paul was writing here that in saying that when the law came in and sin increased, he uses the word abound, which means that it made it worse, that there was more of it. But as you read the rest of that verse, you see that as the sin increased, that grace did even more. And that's what we know about Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for us. It's through God's free gift, and that free gift is salvation. So as we look at verse number 1 this morning in our printed text, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And we see the question, do we continue in this sin? And the quick answer in this is in verse number 2. But why is he asking us about this sin? He's asking us, once we're saved, are we going to continue to live this sinful life? And the answer is no. As we look in verse 2, he says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And as a believer, it says we cannot continue to live in sin because we are dead to sin. Why are we dead to sin? Because of our putting our faith, our justification, putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what brought the believer's death. As we think about Christ's death on the cross and our death to sin. So let's remember that what Christ did for us on the cross, he paid the penalty. I think about the old hymn, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He left a crimson stain, but washed it white as snow." Look at verse number 3 here this morning. Verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Paul was trying to get his believers there, these early Christians, to go back to that experience, that where they were baptized. And he's saying that you should know this, you should remember this, that you were baptized into Christ Jesus and you were baptized into his death. This is what so many of us have experienced as well. The physical act of the water baptism was assigned to the church. It's assigned to the world that we're getting away from our old self, and we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, a crucified, buried, risen Savior, and the believer's death to sin. We're burying our old life, and we're going to, as we come out of that water, it's going to be a newness of life, and we want to try to follow Jesus Christ there. So even more, it just acknowledges to the people and to our church when we are baptized that, hey, that we're trying to live for Christ. So let's look at verse number 4 says that, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When we are buried with him through this baptism and into his death, he says the purpose of this is so that we become a new person. Our salvation will lead us to that. We want to become a new person. And the last part of this verse is saying that Christ died, was buried, raised up by the glory of his Father. And since we're saved, And our old self is dying. We want to do away with that. We are also buried with Christ through baptism so that we can live a changed life. And Paul is saying that it's very similar. Our salvation experience is very similar to what Christ did for us. And what he did for us was made possible by the same God that we have salvation from. Verse number 5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Paul is being very confident here in what he's saying, and he wants his believers to understand this, that their lives will be changed, and they should be changed. And he's emphasizing this in this verse. He says, we should be in the likeness of his death. Our old self should be gone. We're not going to have the desire to live that old sinful way anymore. And we're going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. In the baptism, it's like when we're raised up, that old life is gone. And this is true as we think about it. We're confessing that not only his death and his burial, but we're also confessing the power of his resurrection there in verse number 5. Look at verse number 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And verse 7 goes on and says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." He's reminding those Roman Christians here that they had been crucified with Christ. And he uses that phrase there, that old man, referring to the believers before they knew Christ, before we were saved. We had that old body, and it's now we're a new creature. We're a new believer in Jesus Christ, and that crucifixion of the old self, that's made powerless through the body of the sin. So what Paul was saying was that before we knew Christ as our Lord and Savior, our bodies were under the control of sin, and that our old body will be destroyed, and we'll no longer want to serve sin. And that's the body is dead, and we are free from that. We're going to live for God. We need to live for God rather than to live for sin. Too many times we have focused on, we just made a decision. We've been saved, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we think that it ends there. It does not end there. That's only the beginning. Last week we talked about justification, putting our faith in him. This week this leads us to sanctification, and where sanctification, and we're going to study in these next few verses where that God has a purpose for all of us. So let's see what verse number 8 says. It says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him." The previous verses showed as believers that we have died with Christ. Now in verse 8, he states that we believe that we shall also live with him, meaning that we're going to have a new life with Christ that we experience now in here on earth, but it also could mean in the future when Christ returns and we as his children will be taken up with him and into eternity there. And we need to grow in our relationship with Christ. And this is what sanctification is all about. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Is your name just on the roll books? Have you done anything? What does God want you to do in your life? Which direction is he leading you? I don't know what it may be a special ministry. It may be to witness. It may be to teach. It may be to serve on a committee. I don't know what it is, but God has a purpose. And that's the sanctification for each one of us. Look at verse number 9. "Knowing that Christ being raised from dead dieth no more, death have no more dominion on him." For the third time here, Paul uses that term, knowing that, or you should know this. You need to take heed to this. He's had this in verses 3, 6, and 9, and he's saying that you know this. You've had prior knowledge to this. So what knowledge is he talking about? That Christ, his resurrection was unique. The Bible contains several accounts of people who had died and later were restored to life. But the difference between those people and Jesus that were brought back to life, that they died again. That didn't happen with Jesus, but we know Jesus was raised from the dead, and he dies no more. God has victory over death. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 54 through 57. And let's see what it says. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. It says, "For when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So that tells us very, very clearly there that God has victory over death. But what does he want us to do? As he says there, he said, you be steadfast, unmovable. You abound in his work. You be part of his work that he has for you. As we look at verse number 10, and what it says here is that, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." This is the reason, as it says, that death no longer rules over Jesus, because he died unto that sin once. He paid that price, that on Calvary for me, and he paid that price for you. And you can go in Hebrews 10:10 and read a little bit more about that. But we need to think about this morning, as we will next Sunday is Easter, and think about the crucifixion and the resurrection. As J. Vernon McGee says, that we are the ones. The Roman soldiers didn't crucify Christ. He said, we did. I did. You did. All of our sin is what sent Jesus to the cross to die for us. So this is why we're in this, where we are. And as Hebrews 10:10 says, that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So it's that sanctification again just keeps coming up, and we keep mentioning that. Read verse number 11. It says, "Likewise reckon ye," and again, that using that word to reckon and to think about what you know. It says, "Reckon ye also yourselves to the dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He draws a comparison between Jesus' situation and those of the Roman Christians that he was writing to here. Jesus' death is different from that of the believers. Jesus was the reason that we as Christians, this is the reason we're dying to sin, and we don't have to have sin. We don't have to be part of sin. We're forgiven of that. When we put our faith in, when we're justified in our commitment to Christ, and we're showing the world when we're baptized, we're showing our church family when we're baptized that we're a new creature. Our old self is gone. And he uses that word reckon again. He wants to make sure that these early Christians would rethink what they knew, and that they would reevaluate their position. And this morning, I think we need to do that. Think about where we are in our walk with Jesus Christ, and know that he is our Lord and he is our Savior. But just because we're saved doesn't mean that we need to be a bench warmer. We need to be in the game. We need to be part of it. We need to be a participant. So let's look at what verse 12 says. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Paul is saying that we are not to allow sin to exercise authority over us. Sin will swallow us up. It will control us. It will take us over. Don't let sin get into this old mortal body there. And this could be all sins that it talks about there. It talks about the lust. It could be physical lust. It could be for power. It could be for greediness. It could be for pride. And we could go on and on talking about these sins right here. In verse 13, he says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." I want you to think of it in this way, that salvation is not just about our eternity. There are other implications. There are other things that need to take place here on earth. Our lifestyle needs to be different. We need to be different. They don't need to look at us and say, "Oh, I don't know. Is he a follower of Jesus Christ?" I can't tell. Can someone look at you? Can they make that distinction just by watching your actions here on earth? Again, it points to sanctification, which this is the best definition that I've heard. And this is from J. Vernon McGee. And it says that we're to be set apart for God's purpose. When we're saved, when we're justified, then we start on sanctification. And understand here, class, as we talk about this, that this is an ongoing process. Justification happened in a moment. When we asked Jesus to come live in our heart, that happened at that moment. That was instant. Sanctification is an ongoing process. And we need to grow in Christ. If you look at your Christian life and you don't feel like you're moving, then you need to be in prayer. God, use me. What do I need to do? And that's what sanctification is all about. And my prayer is that we as a class here this morning, that we'll continue to grow. That we'll, during this time of uncertainty, we know what is certain, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord. And that we can count on that. And what can we do to further His kingdom? You know, Brother Gary talks, it's all about souls, and that's our goal, and that's what it needs to be. But allow Christ to use you. Follow the Holy Spirit. Be part of this sanctification. Don't allow sin to take over your body. Be part of it. Last verse, number 14, says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but we are under grace." And Paul ends this section with this strong statement, as he says there, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." And it's why? Because of Jesus' death. And on the cross and His resurrection, He did this for each one of us. And as believers, that we're not under the law, but we're under His grace. So I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about your salvation experience, whenever it was, and go back, reevaluate, as He says there, you know, you've had knowledge, you know what's going on. Think about where you are in your Christian walk. And I think it's a great time for us right now to draw closer to God. We don't know what's going to happen with all this going on across our world right now. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we do know who brings tomorrow, and that's Jesus Christ. And so I want us to put our faith in Him. Let's have a word of prayer, and I want to mention several people here this morning. First of all, the Miss Louise Estes family. Pray for that family. Also for the Frankie Jordan family. They've been on our prayer list for quite a while. As he passed away this week, pray for that, for his wife and his two boys and for their family, and especially the Dickerson family. A lot of us know, and we lift them up to you this morning, God. So there are others maybe. Pray for our pastor and Miss Dixie. Continue to pray for Luke and the team as they put together each week. I don't know how long we're going to be in this situation, but right now the numbers don't look good. So I'm sure we'll come out with some official statement within the next few days on that. So if you need me, you know where I'm located. Send me a text, let me know, and I'll be glad to help you any way I can. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for the writing of Paul. God, thank You for how strong it is. And Lord, I pray for our class and for those listening, that we might be sanctified. I pray that we grow in our relationship with You. Lord, help us to know what to do. Give us that wisdom. Give us that knowledge that we need, God, to know each and every day to how to follow You and how to be a servant of Yours. Lord, I pray for these that we have mentioned this morning, Miss Louise Estes family. Lord, I pray for the Frankie Jordan family, Lord, and for that really large family, Lord, and pray for his wife and two boys, and for the Dickerson family. I lift them up to You. God, just ask You to comfort them as only You can. And Lord, I just pray that they would have a peace about everything. Lord, I pray for Brother Gary and Miss Dixie, as God, as they lead us here. And Lord, it's a difficult time, and help us all to have understanding. Help us to be patient, Lord, with everything that's going on. And Lord, I thank You for Luke and the team as they prepare every week for us, and they come and they're there, and they, Lord, we just lift up their efforts to you, Lord, and I thank you for that. Lord, just pray that you'd be with our nation. Lord, I pray that, God, that through this, that people would see you and you would be glorified some way. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me my sins. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.